on a business trip, and out of the blue, he had a huge stroke, which has left him with locked-in syndrome. It's the kind of stroke that people don't normally recover from. So, yeah, he can't move, he can't speak, he can't do anything for himself. The only thing he can move is slight head movement and his eyes.
And had he ever talked before about this happening, or the possibility of it happening, or people...
Not really. You know, he used to joke, saying, he used to say to me, you know, things like, if ever I, you know, become, you know, so-and-so like this, you know, end it for me. I wouldn't want to live like this. And knowing the kind of person that he is, you know, it wasn't so much a joke. It was, he meant it. And I knew that the day would come when he would say that he couldn't carry on like this.
And give me a sense, just give me a sense, if you will, Jane, of what a typical day is for him at the minute. He wakens up and what happens?
Yeah, he wakes up. I give him something to, a very, very thickened drink and some tablets. Then the carers come and get him up. They shower him. They get him dressed. They put him on his exercise machine, shave him, clean his teeth for him. Then he's got a special computer that recognises eye blinks, and he spends most of the day on the computer writing letters to people. He's been writing a book. He's written his memoirs. Then at 4 o'clock he'll go into another chair, like an armchair, and sit and watch TV till he goes to bed, and then he watches TV in bed until he falls asleep, and it's the same day in, day out.
It's a type of life.
It is, but it's not enough for him. He says at the moment he can just about bear it, but as he gets older, he knows things won't get any better. If they'll gradually get worse, as happens to all of us as we get older. And it's not enough for him. He was a very active person, a bit of a daredevil. He's a huge rugby fan. Rugby is his passion. He used to play, and he absolutely loved his rugby. I think that's about the only thing that keeps him going, was watching the rugby. And it's just not enough for him. And he says he knows that the day will come when he just can't cope with life like this anymore. So, and it's not right that you or I can go out and end our lives if we feel we've had enough, but he can't.
So does he want to die now?
No. He said not at the moment. He doesn't know when he wants to die, but he just wants to know that when the time comes, that everything is in place so that he can end his life.
And how does he want to die?
Ideally, what he would like would be for me to give him a sedative so that he went to sleep, and then for a doctor to come and give him a lethal dose of something.
And of course, the law at the moment would prosecute that doctor, right?
Yeah, he'd be charged with murder. It's not assisted suicide, because Tony can't do anything for himself. It would be murder.
And so what has gone through the High Court today, Jane?
Our case is... The Ministry of Justice are trying to throw the case out. They say that we don't have a case, that it's for Parliament to decide. Our legal team differ. They say that there's this common law of necessity that can be used, and it's just now down to waiting for the judge to see whether he thinks that we have a case or not, and whether we can continue.
And you'll understand, Jane, why so many people would be so reluctant to give any ground on allowing anybody to kill another human being.
Yeah, I do. I understand that. And we're not saying that, you know, it should be easy and that there should be a legal process that you would have to go through to get it sanctioned by the courts before you could go ahead and do it. We're not just saying that anyone can say, right, you know, I want to die tomorrow. Can the doctor come and give me a lethal injection? It would have to be quite a lengthy and complicated process to go through. But as Tony says, he just wants a way out, what he calls a plan B. You know, you or I have it, but he doesn't. And he says it's causing him so much anguish, knowing that he's got absolutely no way out. He's stuck the way he is until he dies a natural death, which could be... Oh, sorry, doorbell. Which could be at any time. I don't really know when it would be, but it will happen at some point.
Have you tried to talk him out of it?
Well, we have. Of course we have. But I knew from day one, as soon as I knew the prognosis and what was wrong with him, I knew that the time would come. So, yes, of course, people have tried to talk him out of it, and when he first suggested it, it was very early on, and he said that he would give life a go for a couple of years and see how it went, and which he did. And he said no, you know, and in 2007, which was when we sort of started the ball rolling, and he took himself off all of his life-lengthening drugs, you know, heart drugs and anticoagulants and things, and just kept on ones that were making him comfortable. And that was in 2007.
Jane, do you think he's right?
Yes, I do.
If you were him, would you want to kill yourself?
Yeah, probably. You know, some people say to me, there's people that are worse off than him and they live a meaningful life, which is true, they do, and good for them. It depends on the person. And then, of course, we have people that have religious views that say life is sacred and things, but Tony's an atheist and he gets very upset with these remarks because he says, why should other people's religious views be, you know, thrust upon him? So it's what he wants to do, and at the end of the day, if it's what he wants, then it's what I want, really, because I love him and I want what he wants.
Jane, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Okay.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.